Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 374, the box office report for the week ending April 22nd.
Yep.
That's a dramatic pause.
That's what it is.
Screwed it up.
Yeah.
So just a little tease. It's a little bit of a weird week at the box office.
It is a weird week.
There's a few surprises in store.
Some snafus, maybe?
I don't know. Depends on what they buy. That's not a snafu. Yeah, that's just the market didn't do what the people in charge thought it was going to do.
I'm sure the people at Disney are like, son of a... Here, just fix it next week.
It'll be fine next week.
Yeah, right.
But this week, it's all wackadoo.
It's all wackadoo.
So before we dig in, we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We are Danless this week. He's traveling for work. Isn't that what he's doing?
Sure.
I think so.
I don't think so. I think his old lady's out of town.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's got a big important job. So does she.
Yeah, they both
power
do.
Couple.
They are a power couple.
And so he's always off doing stuff.
Like,
I mean,
is.
Like, not even making fun of him. Like, I mean, he is. Like,
yeah.
That's...
Jet
like,
setters.
He is.
He gets to go to Miami for work. It's
yeah.
Like, poor you.
Well, you know, it's funny.
In
when
the
you
middle could, of January in
But
St.
when
Louis.
You have to do it for work, it's a...
I think I would rather go to Miami in January for work
you
than
wouldn't.
Be in St. Louis
you
on a weekend. Ugh.
You wouldn't.
All right.
Because I travel sometimes for work. Not often, but sometimes. And so... Normally in like late January, early February, I go to L.A. for a concert industry conference.
Mm.
And
a humble brag.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's boring. Like,
yeah,
it really
sure.
is. Like, when you don't, like, when I didn't have to travel for work, I was like, oh, man, that'd be cool. And now that I have to do it, I'm like, oh.
I've been to L.A. one time in my life.
But, like, I literally, like, I land at LAX. I take a shuttle to the hotel. The conference is in the hotel.
I gotcha.
I spend 3 days in this hotel, just room conference. And then when I'm done, I get in a shuttle. It takes me back to the airport, and I fly home.
Fly
you know what I mean? So it's
Berg.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, it's really. It's not some big exciting jaunt.
I guess for those of us that don't travel for work, it's like, let's do it.
Absolutely. Like, the first time I did it, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be fun. And then I was like, okay, yeah, that was different. And then, like, on my fourth year of going to this conference, I'm just like,
terrible.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Everything's so expensive.
I don't want to. Yeah. Well, now the new thing in the fancy hotels, because it's a concert industry commenter, it's in the fancy hotel. We were the
Hard Rock?
No, that's not fancy. Like, it's a... We stayed at the Intercontinental.
Oh,
yes. And then,
also, my favorite WWF title.
And then, where were we at? I think the 1 year we
Waldorf.
I think we might have actually been at a Ritz. Like,
you put it on?
Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
Yeah. but it was, but the new thing with the fancy hotels is there are no gift shops, no vending machines.
So you have to order
from their expensive restaurants.
If you want a soda, it's like $6 can of Coke from the minibar.
God,
because there's nowhere else in the hotel.
Probably no internet either. You probably have to pay for it.
If you join their little thing now, they'll give you internet. So like that's
thank you, gracious sir.
Yeah, like
that's
for giving
me access to the Wi-Fi.
Most of the time, it's the cheap hotels have free internet, and the expensive hotels you pay for it. You're like, wait a minute, I'm already paying three times.
I used to go to C2E2 in Chicago, and they worked at like the company that put on those shows had a deal worked out with hotels in the area. The Sheraton off Michigan was the best. Like it was reasonably priced because you got a discount through C2E2's website.
Right.
There was a shuttle from the hotel to the thing. You got free Wi-Fi. Like they had food if you wanted it, like, you know, the continental breakfast or whatever.
Right.
But still, you got food.
Yeah.
The room was nice. Like it was.
That's the other thing. When you stay in the really fancy, there is no like breakfast bar for you.
It's the cheap hotels. Yeah. Free internet. Free breakfast.
I will never do a breakfast bar at a hotel again.
No, I don't do it.
That is the goddamn Thunderdome. I thought it was going to be a fist fight over the waffle maker.
Oh, people get there at 4 a.m. and start eating breakfast. And by 7, 8,
gone.
People start waking up, though. No, it is like three times capacity.
I mean, it looked like the fall of Hanoi. Like, it was crazy.
And you're right, that waffle maker. I mean, the line goes out the door.
Yeah.
And everyone's waiting, and people are taking their sweet times. 3 minutes. No, let me flip. Oh, but I'm over here making cereal. Oh, let me come back 2 minutes later and flip it.
But the reason for all that,
yeah,
porn.
Oh, that's how they used to make their money.
That's the dirty little secret of hotels. I mean, that's why I've noticed like hotel rooms have gotten more expensive over the last 5 or 6
sure,
years too.
Sure.
And it's because we were being subsidized. Whatever your stand is on porn, it was subsidizing your hotel room, right? Because
it was saving you some money.
They made a lot of money.
Isn't that weird?
Selling porn on the pay-per-view. And then once now everybody's got it on their phone and on the internet. And that's why they held on so long trying to charge you for Wi-Fi. And like, remember for the longest time, like if you would try to hook up your computer to your TV, they would have like chastity belts on the HDMI jacks.
That's
so
frustrating.
Know. Yeah. And now they like the hotels now are going the other direction where like the dresser that's in front of the TV just has like HDMI ports built into the back of it. So you don't have to mess with the back
of
the
TV. I'm so glad because I'm a technology guy, so I would always bring stuff along to hotels and it would be like, are you serious? There's no ports on this, or it would be locked down in the menu. It would be like, welcome to the hotel, and you could only press certain buttons, no input changes.
Yeah.
And I would always try to find ways to like get around their thing, but it was so frustrating.
Yeah.
And now I bring my Roku with me when I go to Florida. Like my wife and I go twice a year to go to Disney, and wherever we stay, it's like HDMI ports. I got the Roku, the free internet, you know, and it's really handy.
Yeah, they've given up on that. But the price you pay is
$6
for a can of Coke.
Yeah.
So then what happens is you're like, I'll just run down to the 7-Eleven, which I don't know if you've ever been to the 7-Eleven in downtown LA, but
I'm sure it's very similar to the one in downtown Chicago.
It's a treat.
I've walked to the 7-Eleven from my hotel in Chicago.
Yes.
It's a treat.
I walked in and the guy was like, hey, you want a piece of pizza? I mean, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Uh-huh. No. No, I don't. I'm good. Yeah. I don't.
It's from last night. It's good.
And that guy didn't even work there.
No, he's just a dude.
He's just a dude handing out pizza.
He was a guy who had an open box of pizza that was just making a hustle.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
It's like they're like the every 7-Eleven I've been. And it's weird. It's just the 7-Elevens, right?
Yeah.
Every 7-Eleven I've been to in downtown L.A., not that I've been to tons, but has like a homeless junkie lane in front of the door that you have to step over.
I feel like
that sounds like 7-Eleven.
I feel like that 7-Eleven's everywhere. I've never been into a 7-Eleven that didn't feel scuzzy.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, they're
not
all
one.
Very. Yeah.
Like where you slide across the floor when you walk in, you're like, that shouldn't happen.
Right.
That's
7-Elevens just aren't. I mean, they're not Quick Trips. So here all of our Quick Trips around here, I'm sure this started East or West Coast or whatever, but all the ones here now are all fancy. There's kitchens,
floor. It's not even they're fancy. It's like those.
They're clean.
They're clean.
Have you been
to
them out here?
They're fancy. But I mean, like those kids are mopping that floor every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's Quick Trip hosing the front off. But like, our Quick Trips are all upgraded, so when you think about going to the BP or 7-Eleven or any other gas station, and then Quick Trip, and it's a well-oiled machine. I mean,
I'll drive
they got the change ready
minutes.
As you're walking up with your items. They're calculating the
yeah,
change.
They've already know. They
and
yeah.
They just are like, this is the price before you even like set it down. It's
like,
nuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to be. I feel like they're like mathematicians there. You know, they're just they.
The Quick Trips around here are so fancy. The junkies out front are on prescription pills.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep. They're very.
It's their own prescription.
Yeah.
That's what it
yeah,
is.
They have their own brand. It's. I mean.
And they're washed up doctors.
Dare I say it? Opulent.
They, ooh,
it's opulent.
Good word.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well done. They're their own doctors. It's fine. I'll just prescribe it to myself.
Yeah. That's one of the perks.
Yeah. Right.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. You can, while you're there on your internet machine, go to iTunes and leave a review. There.
Do it.
That's not too much to ask.
No.
And you can also hit our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week. Ralph Tribble, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Lane LeVanway, Jason Weesey, Chris James, Chris Sanders, Tom Comiskey, Troy Anspaugh, Griffin Fox Smith, Brent Smith, no relation, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, and Richard Lawson. So
thanks, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And there's a new shameless plug that we're supposed to insert.
Hey. So yeah, hey guys.
Kevin's over there like, but so that makes it a shameless butt plug.
Ta-da!
Kevin.
Well, if this kind of humor doesn't entice you to pay us money, I don't know what will. But no, thank you very much for all the support we've received so far. So a couple of days ago we posted another 0.5 episode. Joe and I have done a few of these before and we were kind of testing the water. You know, we used to like to talk about news and rumors and just other stuff other than the box office and the movie.
Stuff that we couldn't fit into the box office
yeah.
because the makeup box office is about 2 hours long.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And our wives aren't fans of that.
Right. No. And so we've come up with ways to streamline the show. Obviously, you know, we do box office for about an hour or a little less. We do the movie for around an hour if we can talk that short. And so we really don't have a place to put this other stuff in, but it seemed like from the test episodes we've done, people enjoy us and just going off on tangents, talking about things we're listening to, shows that we're watching. And so these 0.5 episodes give us a voice to be able to do it. And so we tried to figure out a way, how can we support this? I mean, it's another hour of recording at least, another, you know, editing and finding the time to do it. We also have to get extra equipment because...
Well, I have to get extra equipment.
Well, I mean, I've already paid for mine, but, you know, because I've done some other podcasts. But the idea is that we've got the studio, but Joe and I, in order to be efficient, we can't just drive to meet up at Tom's and schedule a time that works out.
Also, Tom refuses to give us a key.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, so, it's part of my custody agreement. Yeah.
So
I can't take on any more kids.
Yeah.
So we've decided that, you know, we can do the podcast pretty much anywhere from our own home on a schedule that works for both of us if we call in, and, you know, that's all the boring behind the scenes stuff. But anyway, the way to support that, we've had a Patreon for some time and we've never pushed it. You know that we don't play a lot of ads. We don't talk about, you know, 20 minutes of sponsors per episode. So we are used to providing this content to you. We've been doing it for years now and nothing's going to change.
Nope.
But unless you want it to, meaning we've decided that the way that we can support all of this, and if you choose to do so, is through our Patreon. And Joe and I have dedicated to doing one extra episode at least per week. If it substantiates, if there's news, something that we need to talk about, we can throw an extra in there. Interviews. I mean, the possibilities are endless depending on the amount of support and if you guys are digging it. So we're going to do one a week. Every Friday, they should be up. And
well, I was like, don't change the date. It was supposed to be Thursdays.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we got our regular movie episode on Thursday, so we don't want to conflict. But the way that we're going to do that is through our Patreon. So people that support the Patreon, it's patreon.com/realspoilers, and you can find the link on our Facebook page. You go there, and if you pay $5 or more, you will be able to get our extra RSS feed, which will merge in all the 0.5 episodes, whatever bonus things, if we get good interviews, relevant news, whatever. And so that's a way that we can make this all work, provide you with extra content, but we're not taking away anything that you're used to for free. So go ahead, and if you're curious what we'll be talking about, go ahead and listen to the 0.5 episode.
There's two other episodes. There's an Oscar one, and then there's another
Batman one, I believe.
I have no idea.
So, like, yeah, listen to those, and you'll get an idea of how about, you know, Joe.
I've had six concussions, Kevin. I barely remember what I did yesterday.
So yeah, it's Joe.
See,
and my
advantage of the podcast. Well, though, here, is like I can always go back and be like, oh, that's what I was doing.
I don't know how to break it to you. Yesterday,
yeah,
you had a seventh concussion.
Crap.
Yeah, don't tell him.
I'm like Billy Bob from Varsity Blues.
Rest in peace. So
is he dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So no, anyway,
that joke didn't work then.
Yeah. So for more humor like that, check out the 0.5 episodes. But it's Joe and I going off on tangents, talking about listener input. The League of Show Shares will be a big part of this show.
Yeah.
So if you want to get even more involved, commenting on the episodes from the week, just talking about different discussions, asking us questions, and providing us with topics that you want us to talk about, we're taking all that into consideration, and that's what's going to make up this new show. So it's
what's all this wonderful content going to cost, Kevin?
Well, it's $5
or more.
As
low as $5.
As low, yeah. So you can, Patreon's open. So right now there's the $5 level that we have, which gets you this RSS feed. But you know, it's like we all pay monthly, all the guys on the show. If you know, behind the scenes, we pay for web hosting, we pay for the equipment, you know, whatever upgrades we need and maintenance, we pay for all that ourselves. So we don't have big sponsors, we don't have a bunch of stamps.com and Blue Apron and all that stuff. So right now we pay for it. It's us because we love doing this. But the Patreon is, hopefully we'll be able to grow and be able to help us do more and provide more bonus content for you. So go listen to the episode. I won't spend a bunch of time here. But we talked about possibly certain levels, maybe getting T-shirts. We do have T-shirt ideas already in the can. So maybe, you know, if you sign up for a certain level, you'll get one before it goes on sale, maybe discounted, whatever. But the bonus content, the sky's the limit, but we need to see where the interest is before we start coming up with all these crazy levels.
Right.
So we already have 4 patrons, which is awesome. Thank you guys so much. We just aired this a couple days ago. David Lang actually was the first patron, and he did it before we even started this bonus stuff.
He was ahead of the game.
But thank you, David. I mean, that's awesome. Just, you know, just as a listener to the show, decided to do $5 a month. But our 3 new listeners and patrons from the Friday show, Tammy Powers.
Oh, thank you.
Bradley Erickson.
Oh, that's not even, I don't think he shared a show.
Really?
I don't think so.
Really? It sounds familiar, but thank you, Bradley, and VJ.
Who's VJ?
Well, he's one of our 4 patrons. He's 25% of our support.
Hey,
group, Joe.
Well, thank you, VJ.
I find it fascinating that that so many of the patrons aren't consistent show sharers. Maybe it's a privacy setting thing.
They are.
So if you've been sharing and I haven't been reading your name, now I feel bad.
Well, this is awesome. I mean, this is a great start. So right now we've got $20 pledged a month. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, I mean, it's a big goal, but
I just want to put this out there, Kevin. You can't take that out of your share of.
Well, it's funny because our first episode, as you'll see, I called Joe on the phone because his USB mic was not working.
Laptop and USB mic were just like, nah,
yeah,
not today.
So
not today.
If you're curious, I mean, first of all, the next week's show, which will be a part of the Patreon exclusive shows, we'll both have good mics.
Yes.
So we'll be on the same microphone system and everything. But that's the type of thing that this will go toward, because we're already, you know, paying, all of us pay towards the stuff I talked about earlier. But when there's extra expenses, it's like, where does that come from? It comes straight out of our pockets. And the only reason we do this, other than the fact that we love it, is to provide you with the content.
Right.
So if you support us, we'll be able to upgrade equipment, provide you with more shows, all that good stuff. So the first purchase that we made already, because we needed it, was Joe got a new microphone. So that's the type of thing that you'll be supporting, and who knows in the future. I mean, we've always talked about doing live shows, which would be really cool. Not to say that is contingent upon the Patreons, but
I'll say it.
It definitely wouldn't hurt to get more support in that area.
No,
and I would think the Patreons would get an exclusive pre-sale opportunity.
Absolutely,
they would get
first crack at tickets if and or when they ever go on sale.
So exactly. Where can they find all that again?
Yep. So go to patreon.com/realspoilers. You know how to spell it, real with 2 e's. And thank you very much again to the 4 patrons and for everyone else for listening. Because again, we do this because we love it. We're not becoming rich here, but we love to do it, and we love that so many people appreciate the show. So for people that can't afford to do it, just don't care to have an extra expense or whatever, it's no big deal. But thank you for supporting the show, first of all, because this show that you're listening to now, I mean, this is
we don't get to 380 episodes without you guys.
Yeah. So if no one was listening, what would be the point of it, right? We have fun doing it, but still, it's nice to know that we have built this community over the years. So thank you for that. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And for the people that support us through the Patreon, we're just going to keep doing more, and we're going to get you even more involved. So
yes, correct.
That's awesome. So yeah, thanks again.
Awesome. Well, I guess with all that out of the way, we should probably turn our eyes to the box office.
Quickly.
Kevin has his newly purchased digital abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom.
It's a touchscreen abacus.
And we're going to read 1 through 5 for episode, for movies 6 through 10. Go to Patreon now. No, regular box office as per the usual. So number one at the box office. This is a big surprise. Number one, not according to The Rock, but yeah. Number one is A Quiet Place. It was funny over the weekend.
What a rebound of a weekend.
Yeah, I mean, even The Rock, the star and you know mega superstar The Rock, he tweeted out, thank you for making Rampage the number one movie in America 2 weeks in a row. But
guess
not,
what, sucker?
Not right now. So A Quiet Place edged it out. This is the third week for that film. So go back a few weeks and we've got our podcast on that. But 22.7 million is a 31% drop in week three. It is at $133 million domestic.
On a
17, throw in another 56 overseas.
Jeez.
So we're talking about almost 200 on a 17 in 3 weeks.
That is why when you make a horror movie, you do not need to throw $50 million at it.
Well, yeah, it's never been necessary. It's all about the tension, the suspense. You can do it with lighting. You can do, obviously, a good script. You can do it with sound. It's things that don't require the budget.
Can you look up what the budget was for the Nightmare on Elm Street remake?
Sure.
I bet you it was $40 million.
I think it was high.
Yeah.
But
oh,
I mean,
sure. Yeah, I'm sure that it was, too. 2010, that is... $35 million budget.
I mean, and not Friday the 13th remake, which is also I think a Platinum Dunes movie, probably the same. I think the Halloween remake had a smaller budget.
Are you talking about Rob Zombie?
Yeah, I think it was probably in the '20s,
right?
But that movie, the difference is that movie looks like it's a $40 million movie,
right?
At 20, but that's the thing is like you don't need to do that. It's a non-disclosed budget.
Yeah, not disclosed.
I'm almost positive there was some budget issues, and I think it was 20. Like they took money away from it.
So yeah, I mean that's awesome. I mean, I saw this on Twitter. I think it was another actor, one of John Krasinski's friends, but it could have just been another
Rain
person
Wilson.
Tweeting. His friend. Yes, the one friend he has. It was him. You're right. But someone on Twitter said that John Krasinski started the year as Jim from The Office, and
he is. That's true. It's interesting. I'm. The more I see that Jack Ryan show, the more I'm just like, that looks really good. Like,
you know,
it looks really good.
I was thinking about the Jim from The Office angle.
Excuse me.
And I think it's really kind of cool that he's part of this iconic couple.
For sure.
And that, you know, his most famous role, people are basically like, wishing he was with Jenna Fisher and
in real life or just in,
I mean, I think people like it's a cute couple. And so people like think of them as a thing.
Would you consider them like top five couples of TV?
I mean, boy, if not real close,
that's what
I mean, off the top of my head, I'm like Sam and Diane from Cheers.
Lucy and Desi.
Yeah. But they're not necessarily people that you wish to be together.
They were barely a couple,
but there was that constant. Yeah.
And Ross and Rachel.
Yeah. David and Maddie on Moonlighting
for sure,
you know, but I think it's really cool that he's got this movie where now he gets to have a major hit with his actual wife, which will maybe kind of tamp some of that down. I know that they're both professional actors and they get it, but that has to be somewhat frustrating knowing that everyone thinks of your husband as that he should really be with this other woman.
That was a phenomenon. It's amazing when the cultural zeitgeist or whatever you want to call it, it's something that people, it's a part of their lives and for so many years that you just, it's just like that is the reality, right? Like
what would interest me is if he does get Reed Richards, like if that is going to become a thing, like how do you not cast her as Sue?
Well,
you know, you have their charisma, right? Like she would make a great Sue Storm.
Yeah,
you know, and then have then
it might detract a little bit though.
No,
I mean,
get out of here.
Well, because everyone would
from
be
this.
Oh, I thought you meant Pam from The Office.
No, I meant
Jenna
Emily
Fisher.
Blunt.
I'm like that just might be a little bit Emily Blunt. Okay. Well,
that's what I meant.
No, I mean, yeah, I think that would be because again, there's even though they're a real life couple, they don't have that 10 years of you know
right.
people
sure.
searching. So
sure.
I thought you meant Jenna Fisher.
No.
Okay,
no.
But Jenna Fisher was in town.
She was
her new book.
She was at Rosati or Nerinx.
She went to
Nerinx.
She
I
did.
Think she was there. She was there as well.
Oh, was she? I don't know.
Yeah.
She was at the, I can't remember the name of the facility now. The Etiquette? No,
oh.
the, uh, the Society for the Ethical Society of St. Louis. It's a I'm not too familiar with it, but
it's like church for people that don't like church.
Okay, yeah. So
perfect.
It's like church, but like they don't believe in God.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it was a cool. Yeah, it was. Oh, I read the pamphlet, and it was like, you know, people that just about good behavior and whatever.
They have the 10 strong suggestions.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So it's a
reason. Like, you better do that. Just to err on the side of caution.
Right. I had never seen an event there, but it's a really nice facility. I mean, you walk in, it looks like a church, but really nice area. And so she talked there about her book, and she did a signing afterwards, but there's photos on reviewstl.com, so if you want to go check those out. But yeah, she seems like a really awesome person. You know, you see her in movies, you see her in TV shows like The Office, which we're also familiar with, and you're like, well, you know, is she really that cool in real life? Yes, she is. I can attest. She seems like a really nice, great person.
It's the advantage of having a character that's not too far off from your actual persona.
Well, and they always say when you're on a sitcom, the longer you're on the sitcom, the more the character becomes
you.
That the writers just start to write more and more to
like you.
Your personality.
Well, if I could tell you kind of a funny story, I can't do it justice like she can, but when she was doing her talk and she took questions from the audience, she told someone asked about the road leading up to The Office and how she got that audition and all that. And so when she auditioned, she started off doing like waiting tables, you know, doing the thing that people do in LA, but then she got a job as an office assistant. And she actually went out for the first pilot of the episode, she actually went out and bought all her office supplies for the desk because the stuff they were staging it, she's like, that's not right. That's not how my desk would be.
That's really
good. So she actually did that. But when she auditioned for the role, it was because she already had experience with this casting director, like the stars aligned, and someone who cast her in other projects was the one cast in The Office. And so she told her, like, don't put on makeup, don't try to dress super cute, like dress like you're going to work at an office. And so she did that. She just dressed like she would if she went into her job and not made up and everything. And she played it really straight. Like in her audition, she didn't act overexcited. They asked her a question like, they asked her a question about, do you like being a secretary? And like, instead of like being on and being, you know, giving the actor response like, oh, well, blah, 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 she just looked at the camera and she said, no. and she just stood there in silence, and they loved it. And that was how she played
it.
She
good.
Played it like I mean, no one's dream job or most people's isn't to, you know, aspire to be a secretary. It's a
I'm
job,
engaged
right?
to the guy in shipping. Yeah, it's great.
So that's how she played it, and that's one of the things that landed her the role. So it's funny that she actually set her desk and she went in with the experience of being a receptionist and played it like that. So
that's awesome. I know not too long ago, a few years back, Rainn Wilson tweeted out a picture of the sign-in sheet when he went into audition.
Yeah,
all Dwight.
Who all was auditioning against him.
Yeah,
for Dwight.
And there were a lot of big names on there, and one of the names on there was Bill Cott.
It was, wasn't it?
Who was on episode? What, I forget which one, but the one, our Fast and Furious, the one with the runway, whatever number that was.
Five.
He's
six.
Bill's known as a really high profile street racer.
Yeah,
in Los Angeles, so you can see him Friday nights on the Strip.
I don't know
what the drag race scene is in LA.
I'm like, with the traffic in LA, I'm like, I don't know where this place is that he would be drag racing.
If you go to the first Fast and Furious movie, you get it on 4K and you zoom into the street sign. That's where it is. Yeah. So John Krasinski, though, I think it's amazing. The guy's a talented guy. We've seen him in things like 13 Hours. He's actually directed two other indie films. He's very talented, but you know, when you get in a role like that, I mean, think about people like Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. To get outside of something that
it's
the
hard
public
to break out.
Sees you in. Yeah, for all those years, that's why a lot of child actors, they're great as kid actors, but then everyone sees them as that. And so this movie has done it, though. This is this with the box office, with the word of mouth and the performance and just how good it is. It's awesome. So like they said, he started the year off Jim from The Office, and now he's director John Krasinski. So it's great. I can't wait to
and
see
he's,
who
like
next.
I said, he's got Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan's next.
Sure. Yeah,
that
I mean,
show on Amazon.
Yeah, I you know,
no,
and
Hulu. Amazon?
I think it's Amazon.
Amazon.
That stuff
Crackle.
I don't think it's Crackle.
No, that's a Dewey Richards 2 or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Mac Bryan. That's on Crackle.
It's on Crackle. Yeah.
So that, yeah, amazing. And I'm excited for stuff like Jack Ryan. Like, that's cool. I want to see him in that role. But what really excites me is the directing. You know, I want to see him behind the camera again, see what he comes up with. Number two, Rampage, the aforementioned movie and the movie of last week, $18 million this weekend is a 50% drop. So it is now at $63.6 million domestic. And overseas, though, we already have that 140-ish, 150-ish. So we're talking about 200 on a $120 million budget.
Maybe
light.
That tweet was intended for Belgium.
That's what it was.
There it is. You couldn't, you can't separate the different cities countries
just one,
and everything.
Just one tweet.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's about almost again at 200 on a 120. So they've almost probably recouped their budget. But I mean, that's a little light, especially with the movie coming out next weekend.
I'm sure Warner Bros. Is like, can we just get one movie sits in the number one spot for more than a week?
I mean, just because their DC stuff is kind of front loaded and hasn't been that great.
It's
Warner Brothers is not even
front loaded at this point.
But Warner Brothers has had a pretty good box office the last couple of years. Like, I mean, they've made some money. So.
Okay.
But Rampage, a little light, I think, for The Rock. So we'll see what that does in the coming weeks. Number three, the movie of the week, I Feel Pretty, starring Amy Schumer, opened to $17 million, which I think may have outperformed what they thought. I mean, they weren't shooting super high.
They thought it was tracking a little low.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think it probably did right about what they, a little bit better than what they were doing, but not like crazy.
Sure,
not
yeah.
train wreck.
I mean, yeah. Oh no, correct. Definitely not. And I mean, of course they want to get as much as they can, but at least it came in higher than it was tracking for them. So we'll get into that next episode.
But I think this could have legs. I mean,
I think it might.
And also you figure next week is pretty boy targeted.
I don't know.
I mean, not that girls can't like superhero movies, but I mean, I think
Dan was here, he might hit you with the
maraca. But there are a lot of girls that don't.
Yes.
And
sure.
So I think that
you go see the Avengers, I'll go see the
Amy right.
Super
I think
flick.
You might see some of that.
That's what we need to fight for is, you know, why are these women hating on these movies and being so sexist? Because they should be going to the superhero movies. That's the next struggle, I think, for us.
I think you should say that argument before Lindsay gets here.
Well, yeah. No, but yeah, I agree. I mean, Avengers is going to be crazy. And we talked a little bit about this on the board, but Black Panther was obviously doing crazy numbers and it's tracking to outpace the opening numbers for
Black Panther,
which was huge. And so the question is, can it beat The Force Awakens 250? Black Panther did 220, Force Awakens did 250, but now we've got every single Marvel hero.
I don't think that's a selling factor anymore.
Including Black Panther.
I think it depends on what happens in the movie.
No, it's going to, before the movie opens is what we're talking about. I mean,
oh, I see.
It's not going to be word of mouth. These ticket sales are sold or will be sold. You know what I mean?
That's true.
We're talking about opening weekend here. So Star Wars, I mean, coming back after the prequels to that huge 250, it's looking like right now it's very possible that Avengers could be the highest grossing opening movie of all time, I should say. So we'll see where that one ends. But anyway, we're running low
on
time here. So
I am pretty? Yeah. Is that what you were just going to say?
I think what it is he's so excited about Avengers, he's reading movie titles in Hulk.
Yeah. I'm pretty.
Hulk and pretty.
Hulk pretty. No, I don't want someone telling me that I'm equating Amy Schumer to the Hulk and this. I will start a whole thing.
That's fine. You'll do it on the next episode.
I Feel Pretty made $17 million, and I have a $32 million budget on that, so coming in at about half.
That's ridiculous. There's no reason that movie should have a $32 million budget.
There was a lot of location shots in New York.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. That's
fair.
I'm sure that Amy Schumer takes some money, too, on that.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll get into that one next episode, but no overseas money on that one. Number four, Super Troopers 2.
Yikes.
17 years later, I think?
2001 is when the first one.
17 years later, we finally get a Super Troopers 2. $15 million its first week in release. That was one that was kickstarted, so they made a lot of money up front to even make this
movie. Yeah, I think they raised 12.
Oh, okay. Really?
Kickstarter? Yeah.
And and these guys that write it, direct it, star in it, I mean, this is a movie that doesn't need a huge budget because they're going to take the back end. It's all the people involved are the ones making the money. So, you know, I can't imagine it as a gigantic budget, but that's another $15 million for this one.
And that's way overperforming. They did not think that movie. They thought this movie would do $3 or $4 million.
And just drop off the first
and be
huge.
Gone.
Yeah.
So,
I have no interest in that movie. What's like...
Because you're a police officer?
Not even that. Like, I thought
they fight with the state troopers.
Yeah, they destroy. I thought the first one was fine. Like, I remember liking it and enjoying it, but it's just like, I don't All right.
Tom, you've seen the second one?
I have. I've never understood the affinity people have for the first one. I mean, I get why they like it. I don't get why they love it.
Hold on, let me light up here real quick. Yeah, that's why they love it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of movies that you could say that about that aren't beloved like Super Troopers is.
That's probably true.
That's probably
I honestly like their second one better, Club Dredd.
Yeah.
I hated that movie.
See, I thought Club Dredd, it had an actual story. Yeah. I kind of like Club Dredd.
I like Club Dredd. And Beer Fest. And then there was the restaurant one, whatever that one was. There's one other one where they have a restaurant.
Beer Fest was the only one that I remember.
Yeah. I think they're funny. I don't have a passion for it like some of the following. Brad Hyens, another one like you that never understood the first one. He has a review on reviewstl.com. Yeah. I think he gave it a D+. Like he's just like, it's funny, but it's not good.
Well, I mean, but you're going to it for funny. So if you think it's funny, then it's good.
No, I mean, he's like, he said, I laughed a few times. Like there was stuff that made me laugh, but it wasn't.
I think if you like Super Troopers, I think that there is enough in this that you will absolutely enjoy.
Is it a retread?
No, I mean, it certainly references some of the
clearly
popular
they're
going
to have fan
service. But I didn't feel like it was like completely recycling the first movie, which is kind of, I'm not going to lie, what I was expecting.
Yeah. Is Gaffigan in it?
I think he's the meow guy. Then yeah.
Listen here, meow.
Yeah.
Did you say meow?
Yeah.
But the guy when the two cops are come up to him.
Oh, that's
like,
talking to him. Yeah. I'm like, he isn't one of the super.
No,
troopers.
The guy
in
the car is Jim Gaffigan. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and they reference that. He pops up. I thought if you liked Super Troopers, you're going to leave Super Troopers 2 happy, I would think.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Unless your expectations are so high. But I would think after 17 years, I would think your expectations would go the other way. Like, is this going to kind of have a rocket will travel feel about it? You know, when you see the Three Stooges and they're like in their 60s and you're like, this is just kind of sad.
I don't like it.
But like I said, if you like the first one, there's plenty for you to like in the second one.
That's kind of what I figured. And since Brad didn't have a love for the first one, I'm guessing that's why it didn't work.
It is certainly, if you didn't like the first one, it is going to do nothing.
There's no reason that this one's
mind.
Going to flip it on you. So.
But the guy who ran the Kickstarter for them and actually ended up the co-producer of the film, Ivan Asquith, is the guy who ran the Kickstarter that I dealt with for my Mystery Science Theater thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I wonder if that's like a new career. Like, hey, man, I'll get your Kickstarter going for you.
Well, sure. I think you would think that dude's got to be at the upper echelon.
Right.
If you're raising millions of dollars.
Well, two cult classic
He brought
properties.
Back MST and
Super Troopers.
And now Super Troopers. Right. And everybody thought Super Troopers was going to just, you know, kind of stall out, and it didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. So anyway, Super Troopers 2 outperforming. So good for that. You know what's funny is, you know, they've been doing a lot of the 420 type of jokes around it.
I like the 421 National Surprise Drug Test Day.
Yeah. So they like Adam Tickets had 4 tickets for $20 and they kept trying to, there was like people saying that, oh, this post had 4 retweets and 20 likes. Like they just kept trying to play this up, you know, and it's like, it's number 4. If only it could have made 20 million and still be number 4. Like, that, would they not just have a field day with that? Yeah. It's 4:15, so they were a little early, but, you know, it's all right.
Think about baseball.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't believe there's any, no international number, and I don't have an exact budget on that one, but they covered it with Kickstarter anyway, so they got to be loving another 15 million.
You would think.
Number 5, Blumhouse's Truth or Dare was $7.8 million in week 2. It's a 58% drop. That is already up to $30 million. That's another one with a low bid budget, $3.5 million. So, yeah, you're
and we also got stood. We were corrected. It was Friend Request.
I got them backwards.
That's what I thought when I said Unfriended
was the bad one.
Yeah, I was pretty sure because I wasn't there. I didn't see that one, but I edited it. And I remember you guys really talking about, like, for what it was, it really did it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friend Request was really good. Is that the one they said they're making a sequel to? Or is it Unfriended?
I would think it'd be Friend Request.
I would hope.
Did we just screw it up again?
Maybe.
No.
Unfriended.
Unfriended was the bad one.
Okay.
That may be getting a sequel.
Right.
Friend Request was the good one. I guess I could look it up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's not like we have mini computers in our hands or anything.
No, not at all. Or like this really matters that much.
Yeah. The future is now.
That's right.
So, we're talking about
Pepsi Clear. That's what I was thinking.
like 33 million on a 3.5 million budget. So Blumhouse knows what they're doing. They've really yet to screw it up. They've had like one or two maybe that just kind of,
they're not even screw ups. They're just like a bump in the road.
Yeah, just kind of like made their money back. But yeah, this is doing quite well for them. Number six, Ready Player One, the Spielberg film from 4 weeks ago, is 37% down this weekend with $7.3 million domestic. That brings its total up to $126 million in the States, and we have another $367 even before this weekend overseas. So we're up around the $500 million worldwide on a probably $220 budget.
Yeah, they said it needed $420, oddly enough, to get out.
Yeah, that's so funny. I mean, we're talking five. So it's, you know, it's a big budget spectacle. It's Spielberg. I'm glad it's making money at least. I think it's serviceable, and I agree with what we've been discussing and talking about on the show is that the changes they made, I think we're all for the better.
I agree.
So you've got some fanboys out there, but if you've read that book and you seriously want to watch the stuff that they're talking about and the references in the book, like I don't see that working as well. So anyway, glad that it made money, and now Spielberg can go do 10 movies about whatever he wants.
We
to
got
do.
It wrong again.
That's what I told you. Unfriended is the good one.
Unfriended is the good one.
That's what I said, and then you immediately went to the opposite.
And
like,
it's getting a sequel called Unfriended: The Dark Web.
Oh, wow.
Friend it's Request was web. The bad one.
Okay, that's what I thought, because as soon as I said it, I believe you said the opposite.
I'm looking at the cast, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, Blair. That Blair was the chick in question, like the lead of that movie.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah. Interesting.
She becomes the Blair Witch.
Yeah. Whoa, there's your tie to Blumhouse. We got it. That was the one. That was the one that Blumhouse hit the bump in. Was the Blair Witch.
God, I keep forgetting. There was the remake of that?
Well, it was a rebooted remake.
Yeah, it was a soft sequel. And they filmed it and didn't tell anybody they were making a Blair Witch sequel. Okay. And then
it's like called The Forest or
like
something.
I think the people in the movie didn't know it was a Blair Witch thing until they went to the screening.
And just ta-da.
I mean, we reviewed that, right?
Yeah.
I keep completely forgetting that exists. Like,
yeah, it's
for
the best.
Yeah, anyway.
It was that one and the fifth Paranormal Activity.
Oh, gotcha. So anyway, back to the box office here. Number seven, Blockers, the John Cena instant classic, $7 million, 35% drop, brings that to $48.2 million domestic.
He is getting some heat.
Well, when you break up with your fiance a month before the wedding.
When you propose to your fiance at WrestleMania in front of over 100,000 people on the network. And then a month before the wedding, you're like, nah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Think he's getting a little too big for his jorts.
That's what they say. Yeah, it's like he's super selfish. He doesn't. And there's also like, if you don't want kids, like that's fine.
Right.
But like, if you're the woman in the relationship and the dude's like, I don't want kids and you want kids, I feel like that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know, usually is.
But I can change him.
That's exactly what
I'm
it was.
Sure, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, it's too bad. You never want to see people that like that. I mean,
he sucks.
Well, I can't say I disagree, but it sucks when you have a high profile couple like that that people invest themselves in. Obviously, wrestling fans.
Some people are thinking it's a work though.
Like, I kind of wondered if it was
because there's a TV show involved.
Okay, I wonder.
So part
of me said, I wonder if this is just
it could
a
be,
ratings
the,
boost type.
Could be.
Of, like, and we'll see them back together in a month.
I don't know about that, but it could be a way to push the ratings for the show. The total Bellas.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it crossed my mind. Like, wait a minute, they do a show and they propose at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like, this is very public. So we'll see what happens with that one. But Blockers had a $21 million budget. It's actually made about 15 overseas. So it's up over 60 on its 21. So it's making profit and hanging around. Number eight, Black Panther. Talk about hanging around. Week 10.
It is.
$4.9 million.
It will be in the top 10 come next week.
Yeah, 15% drop. 15 in week 10. Everyone getting ready. The road to Infinity War. They're, seeing that one, and we're going to see more next week for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an increase next week, honestly. $681 million domestic in week 10, and then another $640, $650 overseas. So, yeah, $1.3+ billion for Black Panther. Amazing.
Good for it.
Amazing, yeah, and I think it is cool. It's going to stick around that extra week, and then the next week after that, it's home video. So.
Yep.
We'll see how long, see if they can pull a Rock and go on home video and also be like in the top 10 for a couple weeks. Good for that one. Number nine, Traffic with a K. So
it's
an Omar Epps movie.
Oh.
$3.8 million in its first week in release. I don't have a budget on this one.
Is that Halle Berry?
No. That's Paula Patton.
Oh.
And I think the movie currently has one star on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. It's
I see a formula, like they're almost doing a Blumhouse thing where they keep coming out.
Yeah.
These movies keep coming out with like there's a person and they're either in a crazy relationship or they're being stalked by a killer. We have another one coming out with Gabriel Union. And I'm not saying that I'm not trying to be like, oh, these are all the same. But literally, if you look at the synopsis and kind of the formula, like those movies have made some money. And I feel like they're just kind of churning them out. Like, here's this tough woman running away from a crazy killer. Like Kidnapped came out with Halle Berry. And, and they all have a little twist on them. But I just feel like we keep getting these movies that pop up and they're trying to cash in.
My guess is they're working.
Yeah.
More often than they're not.
Yeah. They're going to keep making them until it stops working is the thing. But I just don't, I never heard about this advertised and all of a sudden it's here.
We're also not the target demo.
Also true.
That's true. But I still would think that I would.
But I think these movies, especially with these budgets, are pretty hyper targeted.
Yeah, that's true. So
they got to keep those marketing budgets down.
Yeah.
That Gabrielle Union one, I mean, it looks good, but I just keep being like, oh, it's a little.
I mean, we thought the same thing about that Unforgettable.
Was
that the Rosario Dawson one?
Yeah.
Was that the Rosario?
Yeah.
It was Rosario Dawson
and Catherine Heigl.
Yeah.
Yeah. We looked at and that was fun. Like, that was a good little movie.
Yeah. The Gabrielle Union one looks good. It's just kind of, they're starting to feel familiar, you know?
Sure,
so I don't know. We'll have to see if that one.
How many superhero movies have we
seen? Yeah, no kidding. Oh,
who are we to talk about formulas?
I know. Well, and I'm telling you, I had this discussion with someone the other day. I get a lot more excited about Isle of Dogs and Lady Bird than I do about superhero movies these days. Like, I just want to see new stuff.
No.
Well, I didn't say Joe does.
What if the Isle of Dogs had crypto on it?
I'm in. Well, sign me up.
Then it'd be even better. But yeah, I've gotten to a point where maybe I'm getting a little jaded, but as I get older and I see more and more films, it's just, I just start seeing patterns. And so this one just happens to be around this traffic movie, but you see movies that are starting to feel familiar.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I want to see Isle of Dogs. I want to see stuff that's groundbreaking, whether it's animation or cinematography, really good script or acting. Like, I just want to see new stuff. And so I start to see movies that look repetitive, especially in this age of reboots and remakes. And I'm just like, no, I'm not excited for whatever. I will tell you one thing, though. At the movie of the week this week, I saw a preview. I was forced to because I got there like 10 Melissa minutes
McCarthy?
Late. No, 10 minutes late, and I still saw like four previews. I don't know how they managed to do this to me. But I saw a preview listened to a preview for Ocean's 8.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so Julia Roberts' character is actually related to Danny Ocean.
Isn't she? You mean Sandra Bullock?
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, is it Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Because she was in Ocean's 11, right?
Yeah, Julia Roberts was Danny's wife. Well, girlfriend.
Right. Yeah. So I guess Sandra Bullock is
his sister. Yeah.
Okay, I like that. So I've never had a problem. I've never said, they're women, so this is going to be dumb. I just don't like gender swaps for the sake of it.
Right.
The fact that it's not a remake with females, the fact that it is a sequel
in the same world.
That, I'm telling you right now,
I like the Ocean movies a lot. Like, I like all three of them.
I just don't like remakes for the sake of it, right? And like, oh, that's clever, they're women. But the fact that it is related and they're not erasing it and remaking it, the fact that she's related and the other people exist, that's 100 times better. Do that. I'm totally cool with that.
Yep. No, you can't have Ellen Barkin either.
I don't know who.
She was in three.
I don't know if I saw the third one.
Oh, third one was good.
I've never seen any of them.
Are you serious?
I don't know. It's never interesting.
The first one is delightful.
I've seen the one with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
And that's a good one, too.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
But the first one's
really good. Okay.
Second one's a little heady. Tries to get a little
inside of
itself.
I think I saw the first. Wasn't Brad Pitt always eating in every scene?
Oh, I don't know.
Isn't that the one where Brad Pitt's always eating?
And the first one is Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Matt Damon.
Like every scene, he has a bag of chips or he's eating it. You don't remember? I think Ocean's 11. I think maybe I saw that in high school. But like, it's not one that I remember.
So good.
Never seen 12 or 13. So anyway, that's another reason why I wasn't super excited for 8. And then I'm just like, are they just doing this to try to be clever or whatever? But when they said that your brother Danny, I'm like, oh, this is way better. Like, I think that's great.
No, 12 gets inside of its head a little bit. Then 13 is a return to 11.
To form, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah, I might try to catch those. I think I even own the trilogy because I got it for $5 on Black Friday 5 years ago or something like that. So anyway, but yeah, so Traffic coming in with $3.8 million. Number 10, rounding out the top 10, Isle of Dogs, the aforementioned little art house film that's making its way to wider and wider release. 3.2 is a 40%, or I'm sorry, a 42% drop, bringing it up to $24 million domestic on almost 2,000 screens, and it has about 10 overseas, so we're looking at 30-plus million on an undisclosed budget, but I'm glad to see that one hanging around. It's clever, and it's one that you can bring the whole family to. I think the animation and the story lends itself to, you know, bringing the kids. Like, the young kids will be entertained, the adults will get more of the jokes, but it's one that works on all levels, so cool to see it hanging around.
Awesome.
And that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, feel free to stop by our Facebook page at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. And if you want to chip in and get extra content, join us over at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle I Feel Pretty. And we will
You should, Tom.
I should feel pretty.
Yeah.
And we will have a special guest for that. So it's not just a bunch of dudes sitting around talking about what it's like to feel pretty. Yeah. So that's what you have to look forward to. Until next time, you've been warned.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.